Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
You have been sick. Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm doing a little better today. Still a little draggy, but.
Did you tell me you took steroids?
I took steroids, so I'm not like roid raging now.
Well, it's good to have you back. Good to have you healthy. And this is Big Ideas Small Business. So welcome everybody.
Big Ideas Small Business.
Yeah. So today we were talking about business development, referral partners, and there's a lot to be said there. So. There's a lot of different paths and ways that you can go about it. And one thing I've always thought about was when I first started in sales, I was just I was told to just crash the phone, 60 dials a day, 2 hours of talk time minimum, Monday through Friday, and then that's doing your job.
Yeah.
And so that's just how I sold.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole different way about it, and we'll try to give people some strategies, especially those beating their head against the cube.
Yeah.
Tethered to their desk with their headset.
I've been told the same thing, that you know, you need to get on the phone every day, like an hour a day, 2 hours a day, and just call people, like, you know, cold leads and you know, or warm leads, but that you just, you know, call people. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that's good, but obviously cold leads are going to be a lot harder to close than warm leads, because, you know, people don't know who you are.
Right.
And, you know, it's not going to be easy to get an appointment, you know, when, especially depending on what business you're in, when, you know, if you, especially, you know, a lot of times you call an office and you get the office manager. There's always the gatekeeper.
Right.
And, you know, how do you get past the gatekeeper? And, you know, I did sales for many, many years in oil and gas. And there's always a gatekeeper. And then, you know, and then you might have multiple levels of decision makers, and you don't know who the right person is. So it takes a lot of effort and a lot of drilling down. But, you know, is there an easier way?
There's a shortcut, right? I mean, people often say, no, there's no shortcuts in life. And I'm not saying that any of this is easy, but certainly, you know, I think you have to do both. I think, to your point, like making the calls, doing some of that work still has to get done. It's just playing the numbers.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you get started, especially.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole other side to it, which is networking. And I'm gonna call networking, going to networking events.
Yeah.
Sort of networking 1.0.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna get into, you know, biz dev, which I think is sort of networking 2.0. Which is to say, you've met somebody that it could be as simple as you just have the right personalities that mesh, and you're able to open up contacts because people like to work with people that they like and know. And so you're like, I think I really, you know, you hit it off immediately.
Yeah.
That's kind of one way, but maybe more strategically, it could be, you know, this person's in a complementary industry that I'm in. And how can we then work together to get in front of customers, to share mutual customers in a beneficial way?
Yeah.
So what does that look like?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of interesting ways of doing that. I've seen people do it in a kind of wide variety of ways. You know, anywhere from, you know, if they're offering a service on subscription, that they might offer, you know, a percentage of the life of the customer. Where, you know, if they're on a monthly, some sort of monthly retainer or monthly fee, they get a percentage of that. The person who has referred someone gets a percentage of that fee every month.
Right.
I've also seen it done where, you know, the person who's referring gets maybe a certain amount of the first month or the entire project or whatever it is.
Right.
And that's just, you know, that's an incentive that people think, oh, well, you know, I get something out of it too.
Right.
I've also seen, actually an interesting case. My mindset coach, I've been doing a mindset program with a lady named Bellany DeShong with a Live It Choice program.
Mm-hmm.
And I became aware of her services and her program, because I got the workshop. She does this introductory workshop that's normally like over $600, and I got that for free as part of another program that I was doing, and I didn't know anything about it, and, you know, no idea. I just said, oh, well, this is like a $600 workshop, and, you know, wow, like, I'm getting it for free. Of course I'm going to go.
Right.
And I went to the workshop, and I said, wow, you know, I think that this program could really benefit me. And, you know, had I not gotten it for free as part of another program, I would have never done it, and I wouldn't even know about it. So, you know, that was an interesting case of, you know, a referral partner where that she basically built a partnership with another, she's basically another coach, where the people who did the other coach's program got her program, you know, the introductory workshop for free.
That's exactly right. So that's sort of the complementary play. And let me you know, take a stab. So one in my industry, or in my industry in the IT space for Noxer, there's a couple good referral partners for me. And interestingly enough, whenever I'm networking with a new person, I often like to share with them, because, you know, everybody talks about the ideal client,
mm-hmm.
but it's maybe even better to talk about the ideal referral partner.
Yeah.
So for me, I always bring up commercial realtors mm-hmm. that are representing the tenant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so brokers, and generally, because if they're moving office locations, then they're going to need some level of IT support.
Mm-hmm.
And even closer to our solutions, people that provide internet, so the Comcast businesses of the world, the mm-hmm. Cogent, thank you for all your business. Anybody, whenever they go in, you know, they provide data, telco services, and they don't do anything on the IT consulting side. So they often get asked by their clients, who can I work with? Who would you mm-hmm. recommend I work with for this? So that's in it for my space. If I were to think about Laura Kamrath, I would think, you know, I've met people who do sales consulting. I've actually met a few people,
mm-hmm.
and that might be a good business card that I can go grab for my office to pass over to you, because they are so complementary.
Mm-hmm.
What you do with the lead capture systems with the Infusionsoft,
yeah,
that might be an interesting idea in your space. In the
yeah, no, absolutely. I would say I haven't really built that system out a whole lot in my business currently,
right.
But that is something obviously that I should be thinking about. You know, I would say for a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs, probably the biggest place they get more business is through referrals. And the other thing is, I think a lot of small business owners are not doing a good job of asking for referrals,
mm-hmm. Good point.
And they're not doing it often enough. And, you know, when I ask a lot of small business owners, well, you know, do you ask for referrals? A lot of them say, oh, well, not really. Or they say, oh, well, sometimes when I finish a job with someone and, you know, maybe I'll ask for a referral, but most of them are not asking for referrals. And what I hear from a lot of small business owners is, oh, well, if they think I did a good job, then they'll refer me.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that, you know, I'm not sitting around in my house. I love Brian, but I'm not like sitting around with, you know, in the evening eating dinner thinking, oh, who can I refer to Brian today?
Right. That's
and,
it.
And, you know, but if Brian comes to me and says, Laura, do you know anyone that you could refer me to?
Right.
Then I'm going to think about it and say, oh, you know, Brian, he is a really good guy. And who do I know that I could refer him to?
Yeah. And some of that, you know, first thing I was thinking of when you were talking about asking for the referral, I thought of, you know, from the client.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's what you're talking about, but one way to do that is to get them in a roundtable situation, you mm-hmm. know, host your own events, have your company host, get up, you know, at a nice restaurant or bring in good food and, mm-hmm. and just say, hey, your peers are going to be there and leverage, you know, their names. Sometimes it works where they can be in the same industry,
mm-hmm.
as long as it's a industry that plays nice. Not all industries
yeah.
do, but
yeah.
most seem to. And they just kind of have an opportunity to share ideas. and share things. And then, oh, by the way, Brian's the one that brought us all together. If you mix in a few prospects, I guarantee, or I know that your chances of bringing them on as customers has increased exponentially.
Yeah. And of course, I do marketing automation and digital marketing. One thing that I help my customers with is setting up a recurring email campaign that cycles maybe every 3 months and automatically asks their list for a referral.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anyone that could benefit from my services? And, you know, the nice thing about that is that you're asking for referrals on a recurring basis, maybe every 3 months or on a periodical basis, that you're not having to think about it, but you're still asking.
Mm-hmm.
And, the nice thing about that is for the people who think, oh, well, if they like my services, they'll just automatically refer me, and they're not thinking about it and they're not actively asking, that's a good way of setting something up where you'll be asking but not having to think about it and not having to do something active to maintain that.
Right, and that's exactly right. Have a system.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to talk about, you know, last year was the first year, my full first year operating, and I went out and really challenged myself to build a new network, and that network yielded me a deck of business cards that's like this, but really only this many of them are people that I'm going to stay in touch with. And so you have to be selective. You know, I mentioned earlier, is it somebody that you jive with, or is it somebody that's in that complementary industry?
Yeah.
And then how do you take care of them? How do you, you know, if they've given you a referral, you talked earlier about, you know, some sort of commissions or, you know, referral bonus, and I pay that out. You know, I've got a little card that I hand out with my business card that highlights my referral bonus.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's the other thing, like, you know, you don't miss Christmas, try to get their birthday. if, you know, possibly, and I like to do this, blur the lines, and if, you know, take the wife out and for a date night with the wives, the spouses, those types of things. Mm-hmm. Take the team out for lunch.
And it could even be as simple as sending them a thank you card.
It could be.
You know, not every business, it's not always appropriate to give someone a, you know, referral bonus or a kickback. For example, I have a client who's an acupuncturist, and while actually it's legal for her to give some sort of kickback, it's kind of thought of as, you know, she's a medical provider, and so it's a little bit taboo, I guess, to, you know, give an actual financial bonus or something.
That's right.
So, you know, we set up a system where, you know, she sends a thank you card. And, you know, that's still
with some card cash in it.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, just it's the thought that, you know, you have appreciated the gesture, and that you, you know, whether it's a financial thing or just, you know, a token of appreciation, or giving them a call and saying thank you so much.
Yeah. And I've thought of that too. It's just, hey, look, if there's a strict policy against that in your company, or you don't feel comfortable, name a nonprofit. And I'll donate the money on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel comfortable about that, I got plenty that I support, and I will give that money. But it's leaving my business, and it's as account of the thing that you did for me. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I view some of that. You know, there's you mentioned acupuncturists. You know, my wife's a chiropractor and acupuncture, and they do. I've kind of watched her network come together around the specific thing around chiropractic, and you know, there's a massage therapist, Veronica, that's working in her office, and you know, they've got a healthy relationship where they're sharing clients back and forth. There's a she rents out her office to people that do birthing classes, for example, and a few different things, and it all just kind of connects. So it's kind of neat to watch true mutual beneficial business development going down, and get inspired by some of that and be like, how can I do this in IT?
Yeah.
Or how can I do this in marketing? How might you be able to bring that to your business?
And that's another point. I think, you know, you have to kind of put your creative hat on and think about, you know, what could I do to build those relationships that can bring me business? I was actually at a meeting in a flower shop recently, and the lady who owned the flower shop, you know, she does a pretty good business, but we noticed when we walked into her her office, I guess, or shop. Shop.
Floral shop.
Floral shop.
It was really busy because Valentine's Day is tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure she's really busy right now.
Yeah, so.
But the room we walked into didn't feel like a flower shop. It felt like a shop, but it felt like more like a, you know, little trinkets and different things. And so she was asking us, you know, what could I do with the room to make it more, you know, feel more like a flower shop. And the other thing was, how do I get more people into the store? And, you know, we were there for a meeting and she had this nice conference table and we suggested, well, why don't you, you know, contact the Chamber of Commerce and let them know that you have this meeting space and encourage more people to come here and meet here.
Right.
Because, you know, as more people are coming in, they're going to see that it's there.
Right.
So, exactly. You know, that's a building relationships kind of thing. It's just, you know, encouraging more people to come so they become aware that, you know, the service exists.
Exactly. Yeah, that's perfect. You know, get people to your office, show off, you know, that you have that nice space. That's mm-hmm. exactly in line. I do events at Cat's Coffee. You familiar with them? Really, really good coffee.
Yeah.
They've got a marketing room that they're, I think it's almost done. It's been almost done for a few months now, but it's a nice space and it's a great product and a great facility.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little tough to get to and here in Houston on the 290 where there's a lot of traffic's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Or all that construction. Another one that I had yesterday was a realtor. And you talk to, I mean, you do a lot of networking, Laura, as do yeah. I. And how many realtors do you think you see in a week?
Oh, a lot.
there's like 40,000 in Houston.
Always,
or
I'd say there's like
40,000.
Probably at least 10% of every networking meeting.
And I had coffee with one yesterday because her and I are in a similar networking uh-huh. group. And she said, you know, I've been working with the divorce attorneys. I'm like, so it really is kind of the outside of the box because whenever they're going through divorce, there's usually a sell and a buy or a rent. Or
yeah.
There's now two people who might need new living situations. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, that makes a lot of sense to be aligned to those types of people. So yeah, that you know, really, and I think that might even be what inspired the theme of this podcast. I was like, let's inspire mm-hmm. people to be creative in their business development, because you know we all know crashing the phone, talking to gatekeepers, calling mm-hmm. people is the long way about it. I think you still got to do it,
mm-hmm.
but really challenge you to figure out who in your territory that makes sense for you to align with and work together on accounts.
The other thing you might think about is your college or university network.
Rice.
Yeah, I did my MBA at Rice, and you know, as I was starting my business, most of my clients came through my Rice network.
Right.
And you know, absolutely. Other you know, the people I went to school with, they want their network to be successful. And, you know, they were very helpful to me both in, you know, strategy and helping me with any problems or issues that came up, and also helping to refer, you know, fellow classmates who might need my services.
Right. That's right. University of New Hampshire, I would appreciate your referrals. Thank you. Down here in Texas.
Yeah.
But no, I honestly wish I could work with more people from you, but there's very few down here in Houston, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But I was in a fraternity in college, and it's been a long time since I've thought about the old frat days, but just aligned with a group here in Houston mm-hmm. that meets regularly, and it's former Alpha Tau Omegas from all over the country of all ages. Mm-hmm. And I'm tapping into that network because there's that common bond, and you just never know if it's, you know, I think it really is an equation of we like each other or we have some commonality.
Yeah.
Oh, and we also happen to be in complementary industries.
Right.
Let's really lockstep and develop some business together
mm-hmm.
or share our mutual clients.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I think, you know, I'm also my Rice University also offers roundtables that are specifically for entrepreneurs, and it's a group of 5 to 7 entrepreneurs who get together once a month, and we brainstorm and discuss our businesses and help each other with our business issues. And you know, sometimes that alone, you know, the people in my roundtable, because I see them more often, are a lot more likely to refer me because they, you know, I'm more on their mind because I'm seeing them more often.
Right.
So, you know, what can you do to build those, you know, deepen those relationships with some of your classmates? Because
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's one of those bond things, you know, people from the same school, we all bond together and we want to help each other out. So
that's it. Well, hopefully that was helpful. Call your old college buddies and see what they're doing. That's a good point. I mean, how many times have I seen that where very successful people are like, oh, that was my college roommate back then.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've heard that in so many people's stories.
Yeah.
So don't lose touch. Don't underestimate some of the people you went to college with. They're doing big things these days, maybe. So.
Yeah.
So anything else on the... on business, though, I mean, there's tons we could talk about.
I know, we could keep talking about it forever, but...
We'll try to keep it short for...
You know, we know you've got places to be and things to do, so...
we have some business to develop on our own. So, so I'm going to move into some thought leadership, if that's okay. We've been throwing a lot of books at you. You want to change it up and put it into something you could read in 2 minutes or less, probably about 2 minutes. And so I grabbed an article from Forbes this morning. It's actually by the Forbes Coaches Council. It was written by a guy named Mike Saunders. And I thought it was right up Laura's alley. I'm like, how inbound marketing and authority positioning amplify business development. And I loved it because the article tied together what we talked about last week, which is building your brand identity, your own personal brand, or your kind of your company's brand. And then it had this thing, authority positioning. I'd never heard it put that way. But we do it. I mean, Laura and I do a lot of speaking. We do the podcast.
Right,
and we try to, you know, put ourselves out as experts, try to, of our field. And that's what authority positioning was. And then to amplify business development, right, which is what we're talking about here today. Did you have a chance to read it through?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to me, inbound marketing is a lot of what you've kind of done, right? I mean, you draw people to the site, make the site as good as possible, and lead catching. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty solid tactic, and that's you know, that way they come in, they get a good feeling about your company, and they buy.
Yeah.
If you're setting that up and set it up with Laura, that is a good way to sell. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that was happening on the direct sales, which we talked a little bit about, the pounding the phones, all those things, all those tactics, we were beginning to be a little pushy as salespeople. Nod your head if you're listening, and I say, you know, we're making unreal deadlines. They're not even real. We're creating the image of scarcity. We're doing things to try to create urgency that just didn't feel genuine. And sometimes they would work, I guess, and sometimes they were true. But I think salespeople, we were abusing that for a long time. And now it's shifted, and that's what this article was about, in that, you know, we've shifted to this digital marketing content where you give them something of value, you teach them how to fix the mic instead of selling your services, you know, because that's just a basic thing that makes you the expert in the industry, those types of things. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, that basically inbound marketing is content marketing. It's, you know, how do you add value first before asking for the sale? So, you know, how do you, you know, help people? Basically, you're helping people. What can you do to help people before asking for the sale? And how can you build the relationship slowly? Because, I mean, human relationships, any human relationship is a question of building trust.
That's right.
So, and that's why, you know, number of the podcasts Brian and I did early on, we were talking about building the relationships with your clients and how also relationship building in business is very much like the same in dating. You know, you don't meet a girl at the bar, think she's cute, and ask her when she wants to get married and how many kids she wants to have, because she's gonna like be super creeped out and she's gonna run. You know, so you start with, hey, would you like to have coffee? And if that goes well, then maybe, hey, would you like to have dinner? And if that goes well, maybe, well, hey, do you want to go to the symphony or whatever it is you like to do, or go for a movie? Or, you know, you start slow. And the same with inbound marketing. Inbound, you know, we say inbound marketing, that's like the modern kind of type of marketing versus traditional marketing or outbound marketing was more like, you put an ad in the newspaper and you pay however much money and you just hope that a bunch of people see it and that they call you. then inbound marketing is more like we're actually providing value, adding value, giving and helping. And, you know, there's reciprocation. People have a natural tendency towards reciprocation. So when I give you something, you feel a little more inclined to give back and maybe buy something.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that the article is called How Inbound Marketing and Authority Positioning Amplify Business Development. What are you doing when you add value and when you help? You are building your authority. You're being the expert. You're giving your knowledge that's going to help someone else. Like I have a Pilates studio client, and she's got a couple of videos that are like a little short 5-minute workout. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's giving something, and you can do that at home and enjoy it and feel how good it is, feel better about yourself and your body, and then maybe you're going to feel more inclined to come in for a class. So how can you add value to your customers? We call it value in advance. Value in advance. Give before you ask for something from them.
Right.
And don't be creepy.
We talked about that too. Yeah, don't be creepy. So that was, the one thing I liked about this Forbes Coaches Council is where you find this, I guess it's a blog, that mm-hmm. they give you a very specific call to action at the end. So it's not just an article about what you're doing or what you should be doing or what you're doing wrong. It's an action step. So it just says show your in-depth knowledge of the industry by sharing it with the world, fascinating articles, podcast interviews, business-related tips, advice, stories, successful exploits. Remember, building your authority is your number one priority. And mm-hmm. they put a trademark next to that. I like but it rhymes. When you read it, I read it and I read it out loud. And I'm like, yes. Okay. Now I get it. So, interesting article. Can I throw you? I'm going to blindside you with a tech for granted.
Okay.
Are you scared? Okay, good. Because we didn't prep on this. So, there is a piece of software, and that's what we do for Tech for Granted. We review some technology that we use in our businesses called Automate.io. I've talked about it before. Have you looked mm-hmm. at it? Mm-mm. How about Zapier?
Oh, Zapier is a good one.
Perfect. Okay, good. So we're on the same page. So really, and you can use either. I've used Automate.io, and it sounds like you have some familiar with Zapier. Uh-huh. Basically, back in the day, if you wanted two softwares to talk together, that was going to cost you some money. Mm-hmm. And now it's just a point and click in a couple seconds. Common apps. And when I say common apps, there's a lot of common apps that they support. So I'll let you share yours, but I use Automate.io to connect, and I think it's up to 5 APIs between your connections between apps for free, so it doesn't cost mm-hmm. me anything. Yeah, I'm like zero overhead, Brian. If you need any more tips about how to get things for free, I can help you. But I take my free email marketing tool, which is MailChimp, and connect it to my free CRM, which is HubSpot, through the free software that connects the APIs, and off we go. So Automate.io is that sort of middle ground. And what I mean by connect is when I add a contact in my email database in MailChimp, it automatically populates over into HubSpot. That's one example. And then I'm going to kind of let Laura share her experience with Zapier.
I mean, another really common use for Zapier is people who want to set up a sales funnel. If you're doing it with, we call it Facebook lead ads, which a lead ad is basically, the purpose of an ad when you're doing a funnel is to gather your prospects' information, so collect leads. And in order to collect leads, you need at least their first name and email address. So traditionally, how that was done is you set up a landing page, which is basically a one-page website. So when somebody clicks the ad, they go to this one-page website, and it has a bunch of content and asks you to enter your first name and email, and then you click submit. And then the information goes into your CRM, and it can trigger automation, so it can trigger emails to go out to that person. Right. There's a new type of ad that Facebook offers called lead ads. And the lead ads basically auto-populate the person's information from whatever they've already entered into Facebook. So when they click the ad, say, you know, when you see the ads, it has like a learn more button or a sign up now. And when you click that with lead ads, it automatically pops up their first name and email, and all they have to say is submit. So they don't have to enter anything. So the conversion rates are better because the less somebody has to do, the more likely they are to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Human nature.
Right.
So what Zapier enables is to allow your information from the lead ads. So say Brian wants to sign up for my marketing webinar or whatever I offer on Facebook ads. All he has to do is click submit, and with Zapier, it directly drops him into my Infusionsoft CRM or whatever. You know, you could use Constant Contact or MailChimp or whatever it is you're using. It'll automatically send his information to my CRM.
Or all three, by the way, if you had, or if you use multiple CRMs, or if you wanted to send it from Facebook, like you're saying, to the two different ones, it'll do it.
Yeah, so you can, you know, it's basically a way to set up integrations.
With clicks.
I think the Pilates studio I was working with, maybe they offered an integration with MindBody, and
it's a pretty deep bucket of apps.
There's, if you go to Zapier, there's like a million, like, you know, whatever program you're working with, and you want to get information from one place to another place, go to Zapier and just see what they offer, because it's extensive.
it's a good exercise if you ever find yourself kind of manually operating around two different softwares, or, you know,
yeah,
if you're, it's the same information in two different places, go check these apps out. So Automate.io and Zapier, because they probably already have solutions for you.
I think that even with a subscription to Zapier, it's still not that expensive.
Cheap.
It's pretty cheap.
Both those solutions are inexpensive, especially if you think about how much you can consolidate your time and save time, and then also set up processes within your company. So take a look at those apps if you haven't already. Is there any other thoughts on that type of software? What do we call it? Just software integration software?
So well, yeah, I mean, I think you call those basically an API, which an API is like a link from one software to another software. So they basically have all these pre-built bridges that let you bridge your data from one place to another. So
So I guess API or software integration solutions, but there's a number of them out there, and they are godsends for the small business owner. So take a look. All right, well, I guess we can get wrapped up. Anything you got going on that you want to?
No, I'm heading to an Infusionsoft dinner after this, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's Infusionsoft is coming out from their headquarters in Arizona. They're in Phoenix area, and they're out here to talk to the existing partners and anyone who's interested in becoming an Infusionsoft partner. So that's going to be a good meeting tonight.
Okay, cool. The neighbors are from New Orleans, so we're going to go do some Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, grill out and stuff after this. So.
Oh, wow. Is it Mardi Gras already?
It's over now.
Oh,
you
really?
I guess I missed it.
Yeah.
That's Wednesday's tomorrow. So, all right, well, I guess that's all we got, Laura. Thanks for coming in, even on your sick day. We appreciate it. You actually look and sound fine.
Oh, good.
So.
I guess I hacked everything up already.
Gross.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all have a good evening, and go out and close some business. This is Big Idea Small Business.
Big Idea Small Business. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.